CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. You can depend on us. We are dependable. I don't know if there's a song in that or not, but here we are. Monday morning, first thing, and we are live. Yes, the curfew has just ended, so you're allowed to start your day. You're allowed to mill around. You're allowed to walk, run, jump, fight, fuck, wheel a barrel, or drive a truck. But only right now. Before 6 o'clock, you could not do that. You'd be arrested by the police, who do such a marvelous job of arresting, like, kite surfers and dads who are going to... Did I tell you this story about this guy in my neighborhood? And I know I'm doing exactly what I criticize everybody else for doing when I tell a story about something and everybody thinks, oh, well, that's what's happening all over the world. But it's just it's a little story. That's all it is. It doesn't mean this is happening everywhere. His dad went to go and get formula for his newborn baby, and I think he was on his way home, and he was like 5 minutes after curfew at 9 o'clock. I think it was two weekends ago or whatever. And the police arrested him for that. And he was like, but I had to go and get formula for this newborn baby. So they locked him up. They put him in the police cells, and his wife, with the newborn child, obviously they only had one car between them. His wife the next morning had to come and bail him out with the kid. I mean, isn't that mad? Leanne, you're on mute. What did you say?
No, we can't hear you.
You have to go and then come back in. This is we should just have a sign for these things every time. But yeah, isn't that insane? That's totally crazy, right? I mean, you got the formula in your car. That's clearly why you went there. You can prove you've got a wife and a newborn child, but they wouldn't even let him go home. That's just stupid.
And whatever their strategy is right now, to me it clearly seems like it's make an example of everyone.
Mm.
I just think, come on, man.
Yeah, obviously what's happened is Becky Tele has said to them, now arrest everybody you can. Just to prove that we are taking this super seriously, you know. And you can see he's like, he's doing all these PR stunts. He's basically like, he's like Fikile Mbalula, but only not as intelligent. And I know that's quite something to say. But that's Becky Tele for us. He's less intelligent than Fikile Mbalula, but more hungry for PR. How are you, ass?
Oh, my gosh. Good, and you?
Good. How was everybody's weekend? How was your weekend, Sia? You're back in Joburg.
Yeah, back in Joburg, and talking about breaking rules, you know, I was driving back up and talking to Jesus the whole time because my sister had given me some bottles of alcohol.
Ooh.
And, you know, we're like, oh, thank you so much. You know, I don't know what I have at my place.
Yeah, sure.
And it's only when I got it that I remembered, oh, shucks, no, transporting liquor of any quantity is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm driving, going, what if there's a roadblock?
Oh, did you hide it? Did you hide it away, or was it in your bags?
It was quite an operation. I put some in my suitcase, and it seemed so stupid. I actually had to roll a few bottles in clothing and then shove it underneath the seats of my car. And then I put little bags in the space, you know, where the people in the back seat would have their legs. So that if I was stopped, I was going to say, oh, that's just dirty laundry. You can see for yourself. That's it. And then if they had opened my suitcase, they would just find more clothes. But, you know, such an operation for, I think, like 4 bottles of liquor.
It's probably, you could have been more creative and used pants that had racing stripes on them.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have gone near them.
Well, it was like, nah. It was all just silly and too much effort. And then at the end of it all, South Africa being South Africa, there were 2 roadblocks. You could see that they had set up for roadblocks, but they weren't there.
Oh, my word.
These were just somewhere else, but they had set up for it. Anyways, that was all.
I mean, you could have been in jail this morning.
Yeah, you could have. For something stupid like that, can you imagine?
For 4 bottles of liquor, yes.
No, it's crazy. I just think that there are a lot of people who are nervous about stuff because they hear these stories like I told you just now about the guy who was buying formula for his newborn baby. They hear those stories and it frightens the hell out of them. So that's what Becky Taylor wants, clearly. He wants to make examples of people so everybody's frightened and everybody follows the law. But they are the exception, those stories, not the rule. So I feel like we should all just carry on with our lives now. It's enough already. I know that there are more infections. That is bound to happen. There is nothing unexpected about the infection rate. Nothing. This is what viruses do and have done throughout human history. We have 2,000 years of evidence that this is precisely how things unfold. You're not going to change that by reporting it on the news every day. And you're certainly not going to change it by making dumb rules. We've seen time and time again. We had him on the other day. I asked him directly. I said, Nick Hudson, the guy from Panda, is there any evidence that lockdowns help in all the countries in the world where they've been implemented? Strict ones, not so strict ones. He said there is no evidence that they help. In fact, when you put a lockdown in place, you force more people into less places, like shops, for example, or medical testing centers where they're going to get themselves tested for coronavirus. So that's where the spreading happens. And he's right. So I just hope that the president comes to his senses because we are already feeling the pinch. And I'm almost so tired of talking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it just drives me crazy. Like every time anyone brings up corona or lockdown or whatever, I just feel like I should punish them with a penalty drink, but then I suddenly realize I don't have alcohol, so you can't even do that. So,
gosh, it's been almost a solid year for us. It's really exhausting.
Yeah, it'll be a year in March. And by the way, tons of rain yesterday, which was so nice. Sia and I were talking at the beginning of the show that we just love this weather, not because it's interesting to talk about the weather, it isn't, but it makes you feel all like, especially in summer, obviously. In winter, it's cold rain, and it's not good, and we don't normally get rain in winter in Gauteng, but you get it in the Western Cape, for example. And, but there's something about that summer rain that you just want to be all cozy at home. And like you, I actually find I want to do more work. I feel very productive in this kind of weather. So it's also a good thing we're starting our TV show again this week, the live show. When I say live, I mean like it goes out in the same week we record it. We record on a Monday, so we've got to go to the studio today. And do a whole new show.
Well, you even know the directions to the studio?
Yeah. I said to Sia, what time do I have to be there again? Because, I mean, the last one we recorded was beginning of December. So I was like, huh? Oh, shit, I have to be there at that time. Okay, that makes sense.
What do we do again?
Right. I used to love that feeling of getting back from holiday and having to drive for the first time and thinking, how do I do this again? Then you know that you've had a good rest.
Yeah.
Yes, no, it is true. For me, yesterday with the rain, I actually just sat alone in my lounge because after a month of being around so many people, I just made some tea and sat alone.
Oh, that's nice.
The TV was off. There was just nothing going on.
That's
and
nice.
I loved it so much.
But we're properly into
God
the year now.
Everyone who's still are dealing with kids because the kids are still not at school.
I think they were
the end of the month.
Yeah, they were meant to go back on the 15th, but then they've changed that. Most schools only going back at the end of the month. So I don't know how parents are going to handle that, but good for them. I mean,
schools have just been shut down in England for the third time.
Mm.
Those parents and homeschoolers thought the end was in sight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not there.
Venetia says, swimming pool sales are up in the Western Cape since no one can go to the beach and communal pools and complexes are closed. So, obviously, she means, you know, like those, I saw some people putting them up over the weekend on social media. You know those portable pools, like those little, inflatables. Yeah, whatever, just anything, because you can't go to the beach and, you can't use communal pools, so... So if you live in a complex or an estate or whatever, and there's one pool for everybody, you can't use it at the moment. Those are closed.
So yeah.
It's like if you book into a hotel and that was your holiday, you can't be in the pool. Hospitals are full, says Ndogozo. What options did the government have? Lockdown sucks, I agree, but I'm not sure what other solutions are available to us. You have to let people do what they think is right, depending on how worried they are about the virus for themselves and for the rest of their families. In other words,
remember that we're, by lockdown, the aim is also to keep people off of the streets, having car accidents, getting into fights, and bringing in emergencies that don't need to exist.
You mean the emergencies that doctors and hospitals are built for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And should be able to handle.
Yeah.
But if you have a car accident and need a ventilator, it's a problem.
Yes. But that would be a problem anyway. You can also have accidents during the day. Anyway, look, I mean, the fact is, I have not gone to check the hospitals. I'm not going to. I'm not one of those conspiracy theorists who believe that the hospitals are not busy. But hospitals are always running at capacity. There's no hospital that's sitting around going, well, we built these 1,000 extra wards and these 1,000 extra beds just in case. Because what hospitals do is they're like any other business. If you run a butchery, you don't order 700 carcasses to keep in your fridge because you can't store them all. You order as much meat as you're going to need because you know you can sell that much meat. Hospitals run in the same way. If you want to run a profitable hospital, you want to run a hospital that doesn't have exorbitant costs that won't stay sustainable for long, you have to make sure you have just enough beds to be able to accommodate the people who are coming. Otherwise, if you have an oversupply of beds, guess what? Your costs go up and you're not able to stay in business. And a hospital is a business, whether we like it or not. That's why, you know, the Netcare and MediClinic businesses have done so well on the stock exchange for a long time. If you run a government hospital, you can't keep charging the taxpayers for empty beds. So I don't buy all this crap that, oh, because the hospitals are under pressure. And frankly, we knew the hospitals were under pressure in March last year. That's why the government told us to lock down. And what have they done about it? Zero. Now it's our fault still. Bullshit.
And cried.
Bullshit. We even brought in all those Cuban doctors. And what did they do? They sat around speaking Spanish and having lunch.
And smoking cigars.
Yeah. So, sorry. Not fucking on. I'm not buying it. I don't feel any need to have to protect our hospitals. Get your shit together. You're running a business,
I feel really sad for people in the alcohol industry. I was watching a clip on the desperate call for alcohol sales to be lifted again. Mm-hmm. And like one tavern owner, when lockdown first started, he managed to get a loan to help him through the period.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then he managed to buy from SAB and some other brewery company. They were offering alcohol on credit because of the situation, knowing that people didn't have supplies, didn't have money to buy.
Sure.
So he's now sitting with double debt, owing SAB and owing on this loan that he took out. And now everything's closed again. And they're literally at their wits' end. They can't survive. And you've got to remember how many people they employ as well and how many families that affects. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe, yeah. You know, maybe we should have bars set up in police stations where they can monitor us. We're not getting into fights.
Right, exactly. So stupid. I mean, also, who are the worst people who could possibly monitor this? The government. I mean, I know that they have big parties where, you know, we're always joking about how Thabo Mbeki drinks, but there are lots of people in government who drink a fortune. And just because they're doing it behind closed doors doesn't mean that there isn't trouble as a result of that. And you know, same goes for everybody, private individuals. I know people who've got a huge stash of alcohol. I know some people who have a wine cellar under their house with, you know, 2,000 bottles in it. They're never going to care about a lockdown. You think the lockdown is going to affect them at all? I'm talking about ordinary people who live month to month. We get a little bit of money. We try and, and get by with groceries. And occasionally you buy like a bottle of wine or whatever, and then suddenly you can't buy one. It's that stuff that's driving me crazy. Anyway.
And kudos, though, to the organizations and people who step up in situations like this to try and make a difference, and they fight what is, for example, an SAB. Mm-hmm. I don't know, though, whether you saw what's been rolling out on social media over the past couple of days. I say kudos to them legitimately, but then I also laugh at the just rookie error they made. So SAB, it now seems, has put together a campaign and has been running it almost undercover just to pay people as wow. influencers, and these are big people in the country, to post videos around the alcohol ban and to talk about the livelihoods that are yeah. impacted by
that,
it. And it's
see, I have to say, I'd like to be more sympathetic, but I remember when the hard lockdown started in March last year, and there was no, you know, no sales of alcohol or tobacco and everything. And I approached a bunch of the alcohol companies and said to them, listen, you guys need to start doing podcasts explaining your business to people.
Right.
So that it's not just about alcohol. So I said to them, talk to us about how many people you employ. Talk to us about the kinds of facilities for distribution, for marketing that you use, the kinds of people all over the country who are working with you. And you remember we did a series with a non-government organization that represents the tobacco industry, and it was very, right. very successful. So I said this to the liquor companies, and they all said, all of them, to a man, was like, no, we know people in government. We're going to be sitting down and talking to them. Like they thought government was going to help them or that they could come to some kind of understanding. Well, I hate to tell you guys, but you clearly don't know who you're sleeping with.
Because
it didn't work out for you, did it? They turned on you.
And it's still not going to.
No. And clearly, I just hate to say I told you so, but you guys are idiots.
The downfall with this, with what they were trying to do, is they roped in people like Kanimbao to speak very eloquently calculated about the liquor industry and numbers and statistics. So the first video that came out got people going, wait, can you know so much about numbers and the industry?
Yeah, it's not believable.
Then they got another actress to do it, and they went, something is off here. It was so fishy.
I know what's happened here. Some marketing
legitimate coming out of these people to the point where people fished so much, they found the script from
Exactly. So you see what happened. This is the problem, is that they go to some marketing company who says to them, here's a safe strategy to allow you guys. I actually had this conversation with someone on Saturday about these safe marketing campaigns where people use influencers, and they think, as long as we don't get into any risky territories, as long as we're not in anything that's controversial, it'll be fine. But the problem is, if you don't take any risk, you don't get any reward. Now, going with an actress who's reading a script is about as authentic as me pretending to stub my toe. Ow, that really hurts. It's not going to work, guys. And it's pathetic that you're doing this. It's pathetic. It makes you look stupid. In fact, it has exactly the opposite effect as the one that you're going for, which is to get people to care about what you're doing. You know, if you got your own people on, someone who works in your warehouse, someone who owns a tavern, and that's what we did with the podcast. It worked because it was real. These were real people. We weren't making it up. Hiring Kanimbao at God knows what, 20,000 rand a tweet or something, to talk bullshit about something she doesn't care about, and she's just doing it for the money.
Yeah.
Dumb. Whoever that marketing company is should be ashamed of themselves. Ashamed. You've ruined your client's reputation. You've done nothing to build it. And I hope they hear about this.
Yeah, it didn't bode them well.
So listen, the big story over the weekend is everyone is changing to Signal or Telegram from WhatsApp. Everyone. I mean, do you care about this? Or am I being silly?
So obviously the premise behind it is that as of the 8th of January, we had to agree. Was it the 8th of January? Because I haven't received any notifications on WhatsApp. Have you? Concerning this,
no.
Where you have to consent to giving your information to Facebook to continue using WhatsApp.
Unless it came through while I was waking up and I just pressed accept, which I don't recall.
It's the 8th of February, Leanne.
8th of February. Okay. But again, all it is that Facebook will have your information. Well, Facebook has your information already.
Yeah. I hate to break it to you, but they've already got all that.
And it's not just Facebook that has your information. And what are they going to do with it? Shove adverts at you that are more tailored to you? Well, I'd prefer that than receiving adverts for disposable nappies.
Yeah, because the fact
until
is,
until I'm older,
you're going to receive disposable nappies till you're older. You're going to receive ads anyway, so you may as well listen. They have your information. This is why I see a whole lot of people panicking and, oh, no, we've got to get onto Telegram or Signal. So unless you are planning a revolution or dealing in drugs or something else that you need to be on an end-to-end encrypted, totally secure app for, I don't really see much reason for most of us. If you're on a family WhatsApp group, I don't think you have to worry about, you know, they don't really, I promise you, nobody cares about you so much that they're busy.
Tell them to Adam Katsavalovis.
Yeah, look, but then you the people in that group that you don't trust. Yeah, sure. And I mean, you're not going to be able to stop that. If there's someone who, they can still screenshot Telegram, you know, which is what happened to him. So I don't know what you're worried about. No, I'm not going to move.
The only way I'll move over is, and I'm sorry if it sounds like sheep mentality, but if everybody moves over and I'm stuck on WhatsApp on my own, then I'll move over.
Because because most of the people I talk to are on WhatsApp, so it's just convenient for me to be on there as well. If everybody suddenly was on Telegram, sure, I'd move, you know.
Because the basis to me doesn't really make sense for a lot of people moving. It's like they're so fearful of their data being shared, et cetera, et cetera. So, but my thinking is rather the devil you know. You're already on WhatsApp and they already have your information. Now you're going to jump ship and then we'll wait a year until that platform starts doing the same thing.
At the same time, I do understand people pulling back on various platforms because I do understand, like, people are just sick of the trouble and the chaos that social media creates in their lives. And I don't mean that it's destructive in every sense because it's obviously a good thing in many ways. I don't go on Facebook that often. So if they are advertising to me, they're not getting me. Plus, I put ad blockers on wherever I can. Mm. I also have
go for paid subscriptions.
Yeah, I don't use Twitter at all anymore. I don't use TikTok, so I'm not interested in that. I don't use Snapchat, so I'm not interested in that. So, you know, Instagram is probably the only place at the moment that I still go on and look at regularly. And it's only because I follow mostly people who I know or people that I'm really interested in, you know, post really cool, interesting stuff. So if it's not on Instagram, I'm probably not seeing it. And go ahead, guys. I mean, like, you want to advertise to me, go for it. I mean, like, I don't have anything to worry about. I'm not fomenting revolution. I'm not.
No, and I appreciate some of the ads. Some of the ads I click on and I buy the stuff. Yeah. And it appeals to me.
Yeah. So
it's also interesting to see how much we've evolved or slash how spoiled we are. Like, we used to, 10, 15 years ago, have to sit through 3 ads in watching something for 30 minutes on TV.
Sure.
Now we don't even have the patience to wait 5 seconds before we can click skip ad. It's like, come on. At the end of the day, you can scroll through a promoted post on your social media, or you can wait up until you can skip it.
Three or four seconds. Do you remember how we used to, when we were slaves to watching these adverts on TV, how as soon as the ad break got up, I don't know, I was this person. I would jump up and do something and see if I could get it done before the program came back on.
Of course. You went and you grabbed the snack. And
you make tea or whatever.
Did some dishes, went to the loo. Yeah.
So Bruno says, I've already accepted those terms and conditions. I couldn't be bothered, really. Go ahead, enjoy my awkward conversations, and feel free to send through ads. Venetia says, oh, Gareth, you don't use Twitter. We didn't know that. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, okay. And Dogoza says, people moving is sheep mentality in itself. You're right. Carl says, it's my first day back listening to you guys for the year. Missed you all so much. Not too much, though. Okay. All right. The app jumpers, according to Tracy, are really annoying. Do they really not realize that Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp already have all this info? Same with Google. In the greater scheme of things, our movements and lives really are insignificant. You are not that important. Your shopping movements and who knows what else are not that important. Ordinary folks do not matter, at least in this instance. And I agree. But I do think that there's a lot of these tech companies have enormous power, and I don't like that. I do think that there's some kind of balance that needs to be brought. But I do believe that the best way for that balance to be brought is for the free market to do its work. If enough people get pissed off with Mark Zuckerberg and there are good alternatives available, they'll move off his platforms, and nothing he can do can stop that. If something better comes along, and remember, everybody thought when MySpace was a thing that nothing would improve on that model. You remember? Mm. People thought, oh, MySpace is the coolest thing. I mean, I never did because I wasn't really into MySpace, and the internet was so new. I didn't even know what it was for. But MySpace was a monster, and you remember Yahoo? And then Gmail came along. So don't think for a second that these guys are going to be there forever. I believe, honestly, that the free market will sort this out. Someone will come up with something better that works more efficiently, that maybe if people are looking for privacy is more private, that allows you to do things that Facebook doesn't let you do, and then suddenly his share price will tank. So don't stress. Rather,
it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, and if you're looking to the government to help, like, regulate big tech, I feel very sorry for you because you're going to the wolf to look after your sheep. It's not a good idea.
I trust Minister Stella Ndabeni-Abrams.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course she'll sort this out.
Right. You let that woman make the rules. You're going to wish for Zuckerberg. Anyway.
She's filmed a new set of TV commercials.
Oh, she has?
Rolling out. Uh-huh.
And she's on there?
Yes, it's her talking about paying your TV license because it's the right thing to do, she says.
Oh, boy.
Paying your TV license is only 250-something odd rands a year. That's 22 rands a month. Do the right thing. Pay your TV license. And I'm like, Stella, please.
Their messaging has not changed since, like, the 90s. It's the right thing to do. And it's never worked. South Africans don't care if it's the right thing to do. Most South Africans are not Karens. Most of us like breaking the rules, and we don't pay for things that we don't get any value from.
But as well, it's because I think a lot of us still don't understand why we need to pay for it. If we're already paying for a subscription with Netflix or a subscription with DSTV, and then on top of that we have to pay for a TV license, what is that?
It's basically an admin fee for them to send you more invoices to pay your TV license.
For ETV to then, I pay 22 rands a month for ETV to play me Anaconda for the third time this year, and it's only just the second week of Jan. No.
Anyway.
Well, the conformist that I am, I have a debit order.
There we go.
For my
of course
TV
you
license.
Would. You're the only person, you are, like, apart from the fact that you admitted last week that you reported your neighbors for fireworks on your group app, the fact that we already know you pay your e-tolls, the fact that we know that you would never break curfew or any of the rules around social distancing, now we find out that you also pay your TV license. You are such a prefect.
On debit order.
See,
I didn't say I pay my e-tolls. I have a device, but I don't pay them.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes you a little bit better. But this is also why we like having a mix of people on the show. Not everybody thinks the same way. All right, let's do some headlines.
Mm. All right.
You want to hear what's going on? First story this morning is from EWN. It's about Kusela Diko, who is the president's spokesperson, remember? Her future as the president's spokesperson continues to be in limbo. She will remain on special leave. She was linked to a COVID-19 tender corruption allegation. She took a special leave of absence in July last year. Guess what? We've been paying for her. We're still paying for her.
Gardening leave.
Mm-hmm. Her husband was unlawfully awarded personal protective equipment contracts by the Gauteng Health Department. The special investigating unit said that they had not obtained any evidence pointing to Diko's involvement in the awarding of contracts by the department to a company owned by her husband. But please do me a favor. Your husband is running a PPE business during this crisis. You work for the president, so you have inside info. Are we really meant to believe that when you get into bed at night, you pull a curtain between the two of you and you never talk about work? Come on. What, are we completely stupid? The presidency said it would be initiating an internal disciplinary process against the suspended spokesperson after a probe by the SIU found that she failed to disclose her financial interests. So, sorry, I don't have a whole lot of sympathy here either. Kusela Diko probably should be fired. And she should go and find a job. If she's so good at business, she'll find a job easily, right? Police have fired rubber bullets at congregants in Sebokeng for an unlawful gathering. Now, this is just madness. So what, are you going to fill the hospitals up with people who've been wounded by your rubber bullets because you were trying to stop people from filling the hospitals? Do me a favor, guys. Police on Sunday fired stun grenades at congregants in the Vaal. Even worse, because these probably have tear gas in them, right? So then they're going to have respiratory problems. Guess what? The wards that have respiratory problems are precisely the ones we're trying to keep empty. No one is applying their mind in the security apparatus in this country. And I'm not surprised, because most of them have very, very low intelligence and have very, very poor training. But churches flouting lockdown regulations were basically shut down. They refused to remain closed, forcing officers to fire rubber bullets and stun grenades in a bid to disperse them. Police arrived to shut the gathering down. However, the congregation had a clash between them and the police. Church leaders called a meeting to discuss the new regulations, claiming government did not consult them about the decision to limit the number of people who attend church services. So here I am. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm defending the right of churches to stay open. If government can, you know, there's so many things that they've declared unlawful gatherings, and some of those things are stupid. Why can't you let people gather in church? If they're wearing masks, if masks work, if social distancing works, then have masks and social distancing in churches. If you don't allow them to have those meetings because you don't believe masks and, social distancing works, and why are you making the rest of us do it? Just doesn't make any sense at all. Apply some common sense, can we please? I'm begging. ENCA report this morning that cops are still searching for escaped Tshwane prisoners. Yes, dangerous escaped criminals have been roaming the streets for more than a month. Two offenders escaped from the Khosimampuru Correctional Center in Pretoria last month. One offender was serving 21 years for various violent crimes, including rape and kidnapping, and the other had a 20-year sentence for housebreaking. Correctional Services says it's working with law enforcement agencies to make sure that the two are brought back behind bars. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, because we know exactly what they're going to do to survive, right?
Exactly. SASA, remember them, they're still around and are dispersing disability grants. They have suspended more than 200,000 temporary disability grants. Listen to this. They've got a lack of funds. Surprise, surprise. The delays are partially caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. The Democratic Alliance is calling for the Portfolio Committee on Social Development to convene an urgent meeting to discuss the issue. What needed to happen now is for the applicants to go back to SASA and apply again. I wouldn't even say reapply, because it's not a brand new application. So the temporary disability grant provides financial assistance to South Africans who are unable to work due to injury or illness for between 6 and 12 months. And if they've run out of money for those people, it will only be a matter of time before they run out of money for everyone on welfare in this country, and then we're going to have some trouble to deal with. Trust me, that's going to be very, very messy. China has brought in a new law to fight Trump's sanctions. China's pushing back against a flurry of U.S. sanctions with new rules that protect its firms from unjustified foreign laws. Changes announced over the weekend allow Chinese courts to punish companies that comply with those restrictions. President Donald Trump has continued to target Chinese companies he believes are a threat to U.S. national security.
Because of the China virus.
China virus. Well, no.
So those sanctions will not fall away now that Trump's leaving. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that not that he doesn't want to leave. That they'll still be in place, right?
Hmm. Yeah, it's law. It's law in America and should be in place as far as I'm concerned. China have been involved in industrial espionage. Pretty much all the existence of China, they've been doing this stuff. And they are actively using their interest and their people that are positioned in firms, not just in the U.S., but all over the world, to gather information, steal information, and influence things that they shouldn't be allowed to influence. So whether Trump is there or not, I think that the U.S. has to protect its national interests. It is a question of national security. It's got nothing to do with, whether the iPhone is assembled this way or that way, or whether you can retro-engineer it and make something similar and call it the Apple. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about serious industrial espionage. In other words, all that information that we think is going to Mark Zuckerberg is actually being used by China, first of all, to punish their own citizens for breaking Chinese social laws. And you know, you've got a point system over there where eventually you can't get basic social amenities. You can't get access to the facilities that are available to the ordinary citizen because your points on the social score are too low. I mean, that to me is just the most obvious kind of authoritarian control that you can exert on a population. So listen, you know, I'm no fan of the Chinese government. In India, Venetia says, there is no TV license. You pay for cable, and if you don't have cable, your TV just doesn't work. And cable is super cheap, and then you have streaming services. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not the best example for this because I don't watch a lot of television. When I turn on my TV, it's either because there's some news happening or because I want to use the screen of my TV to stream one of the services. So I'm not the best example for this stuff. And frankly, I don't know why we need an SABC. Everybody goes, well, you need a public broadcaster. Do we? Do we really? I can't name the last program that the SABC did that was essential viewing for the population of the country.
And exclusively theirs.
Yeah.
Or that was not like the president will only address us on the SABC one.
Correct. And I can't think of a quality program on the SABC at all, actually, at the moment. At all. So maybe I'm just, I'm not really being fair because I don't watch television. But if I did.
Do you think the SABC will cease to exist?
They should. They should have ceased to exist about a year and a half ago. Because they've run out of money so many times now. We've bailed them out. And for what? Just to keep people employed? Making products nobody wants? I mean, you know, if there was a factory that made the third leg for everybody, and nobody needed a third leg.
I can grow my own. I don't need
three.
But if there was a factory making third legs for everybody, and nobody needed a third leg, the factory would close down, right?
Mm.
The SABC is selling third legs. Nobody wants them. Thank you. We don't need you. Close down. JP says, what about Sivandalan?
That's still going. And you know, that was actually based one street away from me, one avenue away from me. I'm in 8th Avenue.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, the killer.
And it was based on 7th Avenue in Melville, and the guy who wrote it actually lived in Melville.
Ooh, Leanne, how exciting.
Yeah.
You know, the killer could find you if you wanted.
No one wants, this is another point, is no one's thinking about killing you. The chances of someone killing you if they're a stranger, very, very slim. It's usually someone you know, Sia, it's someone you know.
Okay. Look, another flight crashed over the weekend.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, I heard about this. Tell me the story, though, because I didn't read much further on. I thought, oh, okay.
Yeah, conspiracy theories already here, then, everywhere.
Tell me.
Just from that flight, it was a flight leaving Indonesia, a Boeing 737. It left Jakarta with 62 people on board, and it vanished from the radar on Saturday for a few minutes. But it has now been alleged that certain pieces of wreckage have been found, but also more searching will continue underway today.
So they've found body parts, they've found luggage belonging to little children. There were 10 children on board.
Oh, boy.
And it was landing near a tourist resort.
But what is scary is how quickly this all happened.
Yeah.
Because it happened within minutes of takeoff.
So that's when statistically a lot of engine failures occur, is just after takeoff.
Yeah.
Because of the strain that the plane has had to go under to take off. So typically, you know, these things happen within the first few minutes of the flight. Mm. And that's exactly what did happen, where they dropped 1,000 feet very quickly and literally nosedived into the ocean.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really scary and horrible. It's one of those things where the relatives are waiting to hear news and nothing's coming. And
oh, my God. That is awful.
Made of nightmares.
Yeah, so in total, there are thought to be 50 passengers who have been 50 passengers on the flight, seven children, three babies, 12 crew on board, although the plane has a full capacity of 130. Everyone on board was Indonesian, and as Liam said, the plane is thought to have dropped more than 3,000 meters, which is about 10,000 feet, in less than a minute. Oof. Witnesses say they saw and heard at least one explosion, and this is 4 minutes after the plane had taken off.
My God, that is pretty awful, huh?
You know, in what stopped me in my tracks a bit in this story is realizing how old planes are. On average, that still operate. Like, this particular plane was 26 years old. And I guess it's different with aircraft, but you think about it, you know, we replace our cars in a matter of a few years.
Yeah, that's
true. And what is deemed roadworthy, even in terms of a bus or a taxi as well, is only a span of a few years. And then this big hunk of metal that has to fly in the sky and carry hundreds of people at a time can fly for more than 20 years.
I think a lot of it's got to do with the fact that the technology and engineering haven't changed much over the decades in terms of, you know, flight design. So keeping the same machine as long as it's maintained.
I think it's more a cost thing. I think that it's just it is cheaper to buy and maintain a plane over 20 years than it is to keep buying new ones. That's all. That's probably all it is. Anyway, can you guys smell me from where you are?
It's very weird. I can smell garlic. Now is it garlic?
It's garlic. So
are you being serious?
I had the most garlicky pasta in the whole universe on Saturday night. It was like a penne arrabbiata, but it had, you know, when you look at it and it looks like there's so much garlic.
Chunks of garlic.
Yeah, there's just nothing you can do. I was like, yo, this is heavy stuff. But I thought, it tastes so nice, I couldn't care less. So if you smell any garlic, it's me.
I've been loving garlic during lockdown, especially in our line of work, because coming into a studio in the morning reeking of garlic isn't ideal.
No, it's not good. No.
But, you know, it's so weird. I was saying in my head, I can smell garlic.
That's so funny.
And it's weird because I have two slices of leftover pizza in my kitchen, and I know there's no garlic on there. I don't know where the smell's coming from.
That's why it's me. I'm telling you, it's me. I thought I'd just own up now and then we can move on. No, I woke up yesterday morning, you know, after having had it on Saturday night, and I was like, whew, not
you
good.
You can smell it, like when you wash your face in the shower. You can smell it coming out of your pores.
But it's usually it takes a day, and then it's normally gone.
Yeah.
So I should be over it by now. Oh, I had such a nice lazy day yesterday. I mean, apart from one or two things I had to do in the afternoon, I slept late yesterday morning. Oh, it was so nice. I got into bed early last night. I was tired and I just went straight to sleep and slept the whole way through. So nice. And again,
I was I was in bed at about 8 last night, but I watched two movies. So yes, that was quite fun. Do you remember there was a movie that came out and was aired on, I think it was DSTV at the time, and it was in March last year. And people were up in arms because it was so close to the story of the coronavirus.
No.
And some people were offended. Yeah. What was that movie?
It was it aired on SABC.
I vaguely recall the idea of it, but I can't remember the name. Like Outbreak or something.
Outbreak, yes. I think. So I bookmarked this movie to watch called Parasite, thinking it was that one. So I started watching Parasite, waiting for this virus outbreak to happen, and nothing happened. And I don't know if you've seen Parasite, but it's an award-winning South Korean film. And it's been touted as like one of the top 10 films of last year, and also one of the top 37, I think, in of all time. It was worth watching because it was a concept that I've never seen in movies before. It was a storyline I've never heard of. But I wouldn't put it in, like, I'm not going to remember it for the rest of my life.
What was the concept? Yeah. Is it worth it?
It was about a poor family in South Korea who starts, one of the family members starts working for a rich family and eventually ropes in their whole poor family to work with these rich people, all under the guise of different fake careers and also not letting them know that they're related. So they basically become parasites off of this rich family.
A bunch of people are telling me.
And it highlights the differences between, you know, the standard of living of rich and poor.
A bunch of people are telling me that the movie that you're looking for is called Contagion, not Outbreak. And there's also one called Epidemic, apparently. So it's not like this is a category that hasn't been populated before. So there we go.
Contagion had Matt Damon and, what's her name? Titanic girl, Kate Winslet. I think that is the one. Yeah.
Sila says, very good Korean movie, but there's no need to hype it up. It's not that great. That's according to Sila. Okay, well, I mean, listen, I'm always looking for, especially, you know, in the last couple of months, because we've been at home so much, you got to find things to watch. And any suggestions, I love the suggestions we get here. I've had some really good ones from people who listen to the show, so keep them coming.
So this is what I tried recently, and just to pass the time, I won't call it like a hobby or news resolution thing, but since I was in Durban and I was walking and jogging the promenade while I was home for a while, I've been seeing a lot of people cycle on the promenade. And I thought, that's quite cute and cool to do. I should try doing that as well. Nah. No, yes, because you think about it, you're like, oh my gosh, I can be in little workout wear, and I'll also track how far I go, and it will be a little fitness thing. Nah, not for me.
What, did you try it?
Have you actually tried?
I did for the past 4 or 5 days while I was in Durban. And
how's your what do they call it? Sconch, or I don't know, what's that?
What?
What's that part of your anatomy between your balls
sconch.
And
sconch? I've never heard of the sconch. What's that?
I can't remember. It's got some funny name.
Your
gooch.
Or your twasm. Or your, what is the other word? Your, oh God, there was a word for it.
Your twasm, I've never heard that before.
Your balls hole.
I feel like this was a secret that people have just kept away from me. You have to have a good bum to thigh to seat ratio. If it's off, you just can't cycle well. And I haven't cycled since, you know, I was a kid, but I thought, no, this will be cool and fun. It's like, I have to balance my left thigh on this seat, and then it's not enough because then I'm swaying to the left, but then I have to jump over to the right.
You sound like someone balance. Did you always have training wheels before this?
No.
So you actually have to develop a bit of a, like, callus material in order. You need to harden the fuck up, basically.
No.
To carry on cycling. I just tried it,
I don't want to do it anymore.
I'm just laughing at these words that are coming in to describe the part of the anatomy that that I was talking about. JP says it's called a chufta.
That's hilarious.
That doesn't sound right.
A chommy also, it's called the perineum is the proper name for it, I suppose. Lots of people saying, yes, it is the gooch. So there's lots of names for that area between your balls and your asshole.
Can't they develop a more comfortable seat as well? That thing was not fun.
It's not a drawing room, Sia. It is a bicycle.
You know what? I did consider at a point, but then I thought, this would be pathetic. I don't know what they're called, but it's like a go-kart without a motor, and you just pedal to move yourself forward.
Yeah, I've seen
so
that.
You have the full seat, and it's very low, and you have a steering wheel. But I thought, I've only seen elderly people or little kids do that. So that will just wipe my dignity off completely.
I think they're still called go-karts. They're just not motorized, unmotorized.
That seemed like fun. I thought, I could do that.
No. It also looks ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous.
Yes, it does.
Good on you for trying.
At least I'm blown away by the fact that before that you were jogging. I didn't know you were a jogger.
See, the term, no, I think that term sets me up for failure. I either brisk walk or I run every now and then, but then I pause for long.
So it's like jorking.
Don't try to make up your own word now.
Wogging or jorking.
I was wogging.
Jorking.
I'm a professional wogger.
That's a great name. Jorking and wogging. Oh, that's fantastic. All right, we've got Joe Camino is going to join us later on, which is really cool. I love when Joe comes on because he's always the guy who tells us that we've got to stop spending our money on stupid shit. And I always finish, whenever Joe leaves the studio or wherever he's on the show with us and he disappears afterwards, I'm like, oh, there's so much I have to sort out and tidy up in my finances. Mm-hmm. I mean, what better time than now, right? January is just crunch time for people because many of us are looking at what's today is the 11th. We've still got 2/3 of the month ahead of us and no money left. You know what I mean?
So now you gotta, especially because we either didn't get a salary or no bonus.
Correct. So now we're and also you get paid on the 15th of December usually. So that one came in early for December, which means that you might have run out of that money already. Anyway, January's the right time to be thinking about your finances. So we thought, let's bring Joe on. He's a no-bullshit guy. He likes to tell us straight up where we can save money, where we're spending stupid money, how we can get our finances in order. And all of us should be looking at finding ways to owe less money at the moment if we can. And that would be a very good thing.
Yeah, I did get a slap of reality when I came back after being at home for so long.
Yeah.
Where you open the fridge at any point at home and there's food.
And yeah.
Somehow, you know, magically at, you know, 8 a.m. and then midday and at 6
there's p.m. There's always something.
There'll be food on the stove already. So well, now I came back, my cupboards are bare.
See, I know that feeling because I've been living on my own for, what, 20 years now or whatever. Maybe 18 years. But I'll go and visit my parents from time to time. And then it's so nice when you go in there because there's always food around. They're always making something. There's always something in the fridge. That's not the case in my house.
And
in my house, when I have people visit, they're always like, well, should we bring our own food? Because you're going to find nothing.
Yeah, when people come to my house, they're like, I'm on my way, I'm bringing pizza.
Yeah, right.
But also on holiday when you're with your family, you think, how much do people possibly eat? Because they're continuously making stuff.
Mm.
But you're so grateful at the same time because it's just there.
Yeah.
There were certain ingredients because I went shopping with my mom once for one of the big shops. And there are just certain ingredients that only people who cook well and big families buy that I've forgotten at this point. There were spices that I've even forgotten because I don't cook. I'm almost like, yeah, we need some parsley and arugnum and like, what is all of this?
So, Woody has just reminded us of when you started jogging last time you were in Durban, just to watch that guy who was jogging every day.
Oh,
yeah. The guy with the kid who would push the stroller.
Some hot guy who Sia was jogging for. So I forgot about that. Thanks for the reminder, Woody. Robin says, she's Dr. Robin. She says it is called the taint, Leanne. It is, that's the real word for it.
That's the part between my balls and my arsehole.
Right.
Your balls and your arsehole.
Tracy says, January is the 13th month of 2020. And Carl says, I hate it when Joe Camino comes on because I bet he's going to make me regret the whole of December. Yeah, probably. That's probably what's going to happen.
Unnecessary spending.
He makes you want to grab scissors and grab your cards at the same time. Just screw this. I'll barter. I won't even use money.
I had to destroy a credit card over the first 2 weeks of December because one of my credit cards had stopped working. It was like it was bent out of shape. I think I put it somewhere and the sun had gotten to it or something and it was bent out of shape and then it wasn't scanning properly. So when you'd use it at the shops, it just didn't work. It didn't work for the tapping or anything. So I had to bring it home and like cut it into shreds. Which was kind of fun, but no, I've since got a new one. So I don't.
Isn't it funny when we're cutting one up? You go, the criminals will never be able to use this. Take that, snap, 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 snap.
We think it's good. we think. And then meanwhile, they send you a new card, then someone already has that pin somehow. And you're like, what? This is an inside job, right? I mean, that's happened to me. Anyway, yeah. The other thing we've got to talk about this morning, because I mentioned that the one thing that happened over the weekend is everyone is moving to Telegram and Signal, except me, clearly, because I don't care. But there are lots of people talking about what's going on in the United States, and we can't ignore it because Trump has got, what, 10 days left of being president? Or 8 days or 9 days left of being president?
9 days now, yeah.
So,
although they're trying to get him out earlier.
They're trying to impeach him at the moment. There's a whole queue of people who've turned on him. I think, you know, watch out also, because those rats that jump from the ship at the last minute are sometimes the most dodgy people of all. There's almost, I almost have more respect for people who just go down with the ship, like the captain. Sometimes the people who jump ship right at the end are the most scurrilous of all the people. So as much as Trump has hardly showered himself in dignity and composure during the last few weeks, there are people who are suddenly turning on him who are, I can guarantee you, are even worse people when you do the calculations. So don't just take everyone at face value and go, oh, well, they must be a good person because they're turning on the administration they've been a part of for, what, 4 years. Suddenly, now they've decided that they don't – guess what they're looking at? They're looking down the barrel of not being employed. So they'll do anything to save their careers or to save some kind of – credibility right at the end. Don't trust those people, basically. Do you think that makes sense?
Mm.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Mm. Well, you two don't care, so let's move on.
No.
It is just after 7.
I do care, but you won't like what I have to say.
Well, okay. Well, then we'll come back with that in a little while. We've got lots of time this morning. So Joe Camino joining us. We've got lots of other good stuff coming your way. You can be a part of the show, 079 7482090. Let us know what's going on.
Get it for a moment.
No. I had it. Don't worry. This time I got it. All right. So let us know what's going on and get hold of us on the Webinar Jam app if you're watching live this morning, or you can listen on cliffcentral.com as always. So plenty of places for you to find us, plenty of ways for you to join in the party.
Cliffcentral.com.